Isn't our God clever? Now, we get some more information from Zechariah. We get some directions. The first horse is going towards the west, the white horse, the Antichrist. It's not surprising. We are anticipating that the Antichrist rises in the midst of what we would consider the West, the European nations. The second seal, or the second horse, the red horse, in Zechariah, the direction is not given. And so we're going to make an assumption here. It's global. He has, you know, he goes everywhere because we're not given a specific direction. The third horse, the black horse, Death and Hades, goes to the northern hemisphere, which is interesting because that is the area that we anticipate the false Messiah have as having most of the control, in the north and in the west. The fourth horse, the dappled horse, Death and Hades, he goes to the south, and one quarter of mankind dies. How do they die? From the four deadly judgments: sword, famine, plague, and wild beast. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 14. Again, this is a very clearly defined judgment from God in Ezekiel 14. We're not going to have time to read all of it, but look, starting in verse 12, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, if a country sins against me. I think that's very interesting that he says, if a country sins against me. That may be an indication that some of the judgments that are going to come are going to come, that God has a specific reason for sending a specific judgment to a particular place. Okay, now please understand, I am not declaring to you that, well, you don't have to worry about the third horse because, you know, you live north. I'm saying be aware of it. There may come a time when this begins to make a whole lot more sense to us. If a country sins against me by being unfaithful, and I stretch out my hand against it to cut off its food supply and send famine upon it, and it kills its men and their animals, even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they could only save themselves by their righteousness, declares the Sovereign Lord. Understand that when these judgments happen, this is not a matter of going to God and saying, God, okay, we know what's going around everybody else, but you can't touch us. The Bible says even Noah, Daniel, and Job, they could only save themselves. Now, that's three very interesting people. Noah was saved from the judgment of God. Daniel was saved from the judgment of the king. And Job was saved from the judgment of Satan. And God is saying, in this situation, it is you and the Lord. So if you have expectations of somehow saving everybody else, once you're under the judgment of God, you have one choice. Call him true and faithful or curse him. Because that's what humanity is going to do. You have a choice of standing back with the angels and saying, true and just are your ways, O Lord. You are right for doing these things. And then you may be spared. Or doing what the rest of humanity does and condemning. If you'll go down through there, verse 15, or if I send wild beasts, verse 17, if I bring a sword, verse 19, if I send a plague, verse 21, for this is what the Sovereign Lord says, how much worse will it be when I send against Jerusalem my four dreadful judgments, sword and famine and plague and wild beast, to kill its men and their animals. Yet, and here's a very important verse, there will be survivors. Sons and daughters who will be brought out of it. They will come to you, and when you see their conduct and their actions, you will be consoled regarding the disaster I have brought upon Jerusalem. Every disaster I have brought upon it. You will be consoled when you see their conduct and their actions, for you will know that I have done nothing in it without cause. These judgments are just. And we're going to talk about this later on, but we might as well bring it up now. Are we ready to stand back and say to God when He begins to judge the harlotry of this country and the bloodshed of this country and the perversion of this country and the addiction of this country and the blasphemy of this country? Are we prepared to stand back and say, You are holy and just, O Lord, and You have done nothing without just cause? folks, that's going to be the dividing line. That's going to be the dividing line between those who remain faithful and those who apostatize. That is why twice I have come to you on a Sunday morning and tried to communicate to you. The issue is, do we trust the Lord? If we can't trust Him with the tithe, what makes us think we're going to trust Him with the 100% of our life? It's about faith and what we believe about God.